Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Teak, we'll finish up some hoops. We get a chance to bring in Richard Jefferson. 18 years, almost two dead. What an underachiever. My good guy, couldn't squeeze out two more years. What a slacker. Plays 18 years in the NBA. Remember the trade with the I believe the Rockets drafted him. And then, of course, he played all those years with those high-flying net teams with Jay Kidd and Kmart and Vince Carter. And those boys, a good team. Got to the finals a couple of times against the Spurs. Bounced around. Always a quality veteran. Won a championship. Good defender. Good athlete, and now he's doing his thing in the media, no surprise. And Richard Jefferson is with us here for the first time on Tiki and Tierney CBS Sports Radio. What up, RJ? How you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Yeah,
Welcome to our show.
Yeah, thanks for hopping on, man. So the question, obviously, because of the LeBron James, I guess, explosion last night. He passes Wilt Chamberlain, and these guys wanted me to ask you who's the better passer, Jay Kidd or LeBron James. I think we know the answer to that one.
The answer is definitely Jay Kidd. Like, that's why Jay Kidd was famous.
Exactly.
Lots of reasons, but that was it. But, you know, I don't think there's been a better scorer and passer combination in NBA history. I don't think there has. Like, you know, Larry was up there, but I think he's passed him as a scorer. So, like, a scorer and passer combo, there's probably none been greater.
Yeah, BT detailed that in our first segment of our show, because he just passed Wilt. He's in the top five, and if he continues on the trend, he's going to be in the top three in assist in NBA history. So, I mean, it's just amazing, LeBron's career. But speaking of LeBron and what he's doing out in the Lakers, I mean, we knew it would be a work in progress. I mean, it's a work in progress wherever he goes, somewhere new, whether it was coming back to Cleveland and or going to Miami. Were you surprised that it took, I guess, this long for LeBron to kind of exercise himself out there? Because it felt like they were lost for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season.
I'm going to be really honest. Like, I think there's a level of absurdity to say that, like, 14 games in. Like, to do the equivalent to that in football is, like, two games.
Yeah.
It's like two games. So I think because of the amount of media attention and scrutiny and his talent level, I think that puts everyone kind of around the team in a space of like, oh, they should be great and they should be winning. And it's just like, look, they have a ton of young guys. No one and no real basketball mind think that they have a great team. They think that they have a good team. But they're, you know, right now they're in the sixth spot, and 14 games into the season, they're 8-6, which I think most people would expect them to kind of be that way. So I think it's more about just, you know, our unrealistic expectations versus, you know, whether or not, you know, he got off to a slow start or kind of what took them so long.
Yeah, you know, think about, speaking of this and the media attention that you bring up, because you were with him in Cleveland. I'm sure the media was ridiculous there. We talk about some of these smaller markets that have not as many beat writers. Wherever LeBron is, there's going to be a million of them. There's going to be a million questions asked. How detrimental is that to the development of a team like the Lakers?
I wouldn't call it detrimental. I think this is a part of sports. Like, you know, Tiki, you know, you understand being in the New York media, that's just a part of it. I learned it very early being, you know, playing for the Nets, is that that's just a part of this media. And whether sometimes you can be with a high-profile person that has a ton of media that follows him, or you can be in New York, or you can be in Los Angeles that has a ton of media following them. So it's not, I wouldn't say it's detrimental. I think if anything, it allows you to grow up quicker and understand the amount of scrutiny that can come with being in a high market, to being on a playoff team, to being on a potential championship team. all of them have different levels of media attention and scrutiny. And, you know, he brings, you know, a high volume of that because of, you know, the way he plays.
Well, look, Richard, you've got great perspective because, you know, as we just detailed, you play with LeBron, but you also play with the Warriors as well. So, you know, the inner workings and the dynamics of certainly of Draymond Green. Here's what I think. Here's where I think the Warriors may have made a big mistake. I think Durant's going to leave. I've been saying that for a while, and I don't think I'm alone in that now, but I've been saying it for a while. I don't think he's going to be back with the Warriors next season. And by suspending Draymond Green, by so quickly and so publicly siding with Kevin Durant, which is in essence what they did, by suspending Draymond for not even throwing a punch, just for getting too loud or whatever he said about the contract, I would worry if I'm the Warriors that I'm not only going to lose Durant, but that I may have turned off Draymond Green long term. That was a dangerous move, and I'm not so sure it was the right one by Golden State. What do you think?
I think, you know, there's some validity into the things that you're saying. I don't, you know, really know where Kevin Durant is going to go. You know, I think if you're going to go percentage-wise, the percentages probably say he's probably closer to staying than he is to leaving. Right now, it could be 51 to 49, but I still think the percentages kind of lean towards when you get money, when you look at their potential to dominate the league for another 5 or 6 years. I think, you know, that's a lot to give up. You're going to take less money and go to a place and leave to a place that you won't dominate the league. But I think with the Draymond situation, I think Draymond is a guy that is a Warrior. His jersey will hang up in those rafters at some point in time in Golden State. But I just think that Draymond is a person that, you know, he's been suspended by the NBA before. So this is not the first time that actions have been taken against Draymond for his behavior. And so we don't understand, and I try not to speculate too much, but we don't understand, like if this was a reoccurring theme, if this was the second time this had happened, if he had been warned. We don't understand that. But I think that the Warriors know how to work with Draymond. I don't want to say deal or handle. I think they know how to work with Draymond better than anyone else does. So I typically don't question. And no one would say that Steve Kerr is a hot-headed coach. He's not an egotistical narcissist. That's not his style. So I think anything that he has done is probably most likely very well thought out and well discussed. Even if you don't agree with it, at some point in time, like people, now I'm saying even if you might not agree with it, if you're Draymond, you understand that it wasn't some just a rash decision.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I got you.
You know, well, one of his buddies, or one of our buddies here in New York, we should say, Carmelo Anthony, is in an interesting impasse in his career right now. It seems like, at least this according to reports, that he's not going to play another game with the Houston Rockets. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do with them, whether it's a buyout or
retire. Carmelo.
Who knows? What is the best move? If you were advising Carmelo, Richard, what should he do?
You know, that's such a tough one, man, because it's been like Carmelo is a Hall of Famer. The man has, what, 3 gold medals. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, 25,000 points. He's a 12-time All-Star. The man has reached a level of greatness that not many people have reached in any sport. So I think it's about different things. Like me, I was never a great player. Like, at my best, I was a very good player. For me, even as difficult as it was for me to kind of do that slow decline, where it's like, okay, I went from being a 20-point-a-game scorer, you know, top 10 in the league, to just being a starter, to just being a role player, to just coming off the bench. Like, that was a steady decline that I was okay with, right? Because I was, you know, I wanted to win a championship, and I embraced that role, and I loved the game of basketball, and it was just different. For him, it's different. Like, he's never came off the bench. Like, he probably can't ever remember picking up a basketball and coming off the bench. So, like your mentality and just how you approach, it's tough. So it's up to Carmelo. If Carmelo is willing to accept certain roles, then I think he can play longer. If he's not, then, you know, the game has changed and the game will always evolve. So I don't ever want to tell a person to retire, right? Imagine if someone would have told Derrick Rose to retire and Derrick Rose is now putting up 50-point games and doing so. You play as long as you want, as long as you can. But if he wants to maintain, the problem is, and I'll finish it up with this, is that you can't always do it your way. Yeah. Eventually you have to do it other people's way, or you have to conform. Now, Carmelo has only known people conforming towards him and his style his entire life. If he wants to continue playing, he's going to have to adjust to what other people want and those expectations.
That's fair. By the way, are you convinced that Jimmy Butler is going to work out in Philly? We all love him. Two-way player, tough guy, old-school guy. But everywhere he goes, RJ, it seems like there's a little friction in the locker room.
I think it really starts with the stars. I think more than anything, I think Jimmy and I think Ben not so much, because I think Ben is a facilitator. I think Ben is a guy that's a distributor, and the way he plays, I think he's a person that needs other scorers around him, and I think he's very aware of that. Like, his greatness is dictated by the success of others. But I think Joel Embiid is a guy that they're going to have to figure out a way to coexist. And I'm not saying this happens every day. They might be best friends. They might like the same music. They might enjoy the same thing. So I you never know. I think the real question is there is, like, how do Joel Embiid and I think Joel Embiid knows that they don't have a number one or number two team in the conference. So sometimes welcomed help is the best type of help. Right, I think that is the best type of help when you welcome it, because you know if you want to win a championship, if you want to be great, then you're going to need more than what you have. So that alone will allow for, you know, a little bit more of a embracement when a person comes in. And I still stand by, a lot of times those types of moves don't happen without kind of, I don't want to say the approval, but without a heads up to some of their new players. I don't think that those guys, mm-hmm. I think once they decided they were going to make the move, you tell a Joel Embiid, you tell a Ben Simmons, like, hey, we have a chance to get Jimmy Butler. What do you guys think? Right? And I think, and if they're like, yeah, go get him.
Uh-huh.
Right? So then you have that initial, yeah, go get him. We want him. Shoot. It's like, what do we got to give up? Well, you know, they're asking for this and this and this. And if a guy, and I've seen it other ways where players are like, no, we can't give up so-and-so. And they're like, all right, fine, then we're not going to do it.
Okay. The phone's blowing up over there, RJ, doing such good interviews. Everybody wants him on. Richard Jefferson's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Rich, I want to take you to a college game real quick, because we were also talking today about Zion Williamson and Duke. And look, they got lots of good players on that team, but Zion catches all the highlights because of his athleticism and his dunking ability. He's going to clearly be a one-and-done kid. How do you think he translates to the NBA? He's a freak. He's 6'7". 285 pounds. He's built more like a tight end or defensive lineman than he is a basketball player. We haven't seen him shoot yet. It's really just athleticism and dunking. Does he translate?
Yeah, 100%. Translation is not the word. I think, you know, he is a person that really can actually, you know, change the game. Right? That's how much he translates when, you know, the game for the next, you know, 10 years could be dictated by what this kid is able to do and accomplish. And, you know, just that type of upside is something that is very rarely comes along. I think for him, you know, you talk about, you know, is he even the best player on his team? And, you know, very few guys in the history of sports, like, the minute they touch a ball, like, you are leaning forward, waiting to see something, waiting to have that moment, waiting to have your Zion Williamson story. And he is that special. He is that unique of an athlete with a unique body type and, you know, a motor and can run around and has a high energy. So I think, you know, unless something, you know, again, there's RJ Barrett. You don't know who else could be the number one. I think he's kind of the odds-on favorite, because it doesn't matter what team gets him. They will sell out arenas, and they will sell out arenas other places that they go. Yeah. The minute this kid gets drafted, his jersey sales are going to be number one. He's a YouTube star. He's an Insta. He's got almost 2 million followers on Instagram already, and the kid is 18 years old. And this is purely off of highlight stuff from social media. So, you know, what this kid is going to do, the impact that he's going to have on whatever team he goes to, is going to be in the B's, not in the M's. It's going to be in the billions.
Wow. Hey, listen, we got to roll. We're going to leave you with this. I said earlier in the show, Richard, I said 25% Dominique Wilkins, 25% Sean Kemp, 25% Larry Johnson, Grandma Mom when his back was good, and 25% LeBron. That's my Zion Williamson concoction right now. You feel it?
Yeah, I got to see him shoot a little bit more, because most of those guys were.
I got you.
Pretty good ability to shoot. But
I agree.
Yes, like what he can do in transition and open space, and to be a big fella, but always to be in the front of transition. There's a lot of guys that can do stuff, but he's leading transition breaks. I mean, like, in a transition steal, he's out in front of the pack. That's something that you don't see very often from big guys or power forwards, that they're out catching lobs in front of everyone else, because typically they're starting in the paint. So, you know, just to show you how quick and fast and athletic and his the type of speed that he has, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Hey, listen, let's do this again. We really got to bounce. We'll talk to you. We're going to call you back up, Richard. Good stuff. Good debut on the show, Richard Jefferson. Strong stuff.
Thank you,
buddy.
Appreciate
Strong.
You. Strong. We won't call him up.
Jefferson.
We'll call Kelsey up.
Nah, Kelsey will make it happen. We got a relationship with RJ now. We're good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.